start the hour by talking sports. A lot in the news this week with the Final Fours both wrapping up in NCAA men's and women's basketball. Epic women's final with Notre Dame winning the national championship. Of course, Villanova taking their second in 3 years in slightly less heartbreaking fashion for us here in Chapel Hill this time around. We've got the Masters coming up starting tomorrow. Tiger Woods back in the hunt for the first time in what seems like forever. And joining us now to talk about all of it is Dr. Debbie Strowman, joining us again here in the studio. Thanks for being here in person today. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And after coming off of that lemon challenge, hopefully I can speak clearly.
Yeah, so let's start by talking about basketball. And let's start by talking about the women's final, because Notre Dame, with that great win over Mississippi State, and a week ago we were talking about UConn and are they unstoppable, are they unbeatable, and you never do know.
Well, I definitely have to salute Coach. In fact, most people don't know her first name. It's Ann Muffet McGraw, and she is a Philly woman like myself, but she just had an amazing run. And most people who follow women's basketball know that she is one of our best ever. She was given the award of going into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame, but she was also placed in the Naismith, which is for men and women. And so for her to win the second championship was almost like another confirmation if anybody had any doubts. But the thing that stands out for a lot of people who follow women's basketball is that she was going against three male coaches. And for her to have her presence with an all-female staff, it also just made the statement that for a lot of young girls, a lot of young women, they seem to think that you need a guy to win. And she just put the stamp down saying, no, you can win with a female, and I can be just as aggressive or assertive or as nice or as charming as what it takes to win the championship.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before in women's basketball. That's sort of first generation of great women's basketball coaches were women. You've got Vivian Stringer and Pat Summitt, right, and Sylvia Hatchell. And now the more recent generation, as women's basketball has become more popular, you've got more male coaches, and that's a pretty significant issue. So a big win for Muffet McGraw.
Absolutely. If we go back to the Title IX days, and when I played before the NCAA, I had 2 years with the NCAA, but the AIAW, we had over 90% of the coaches were women. Women coaching girls, women coaching young ladies. And now the numbers are really, really scary, and there are people who are taking it up as another concern and something to advocate for, in the sense that we're down to maybe about 50%, 40-some percent. And women's basketball has been one of the key drivers of keeping women as women coaches, but it's very, very concerning.
Mm-hmm. And the one sort of positive out of in that concern is that there is a trend moving the other way too. It's just very, very slow beginning, but there are female coaches that are now making significant moves to become coaches of men's college basketball and up in the NBA too.
In fact, I just heard from a friend, Denicia Curry. Mm-hmm. She became definitely for her school, but for Maine, a female assistant coach for a men's basketball program. And so people will say, I don't care about men coaching girls or coaching young ladies. It doesn't matter. The question is, when will women get a chance to coach boys and young men? And so when we see that balancing out, then we can say, okay, we've checked the box. Let's move on.
Yep. So let's move over to men's basketball with Villanova beating Michigan in the national championship. Another national championship for Jay Wright and Villanova. So they've got a pretty decent program going.
Well, it's another big plus for Philadelphia, all the Philadelphians out there living in the Triangle region. But to have Muffet from Philadelphia, the Super Bowl with the Eagles, the Sixers are back on track, and then the Villanova to win their second in 3 years. People are saying, is this the dominant program? Now, you don't have the history of wins like Coach K and Coach Roy Williams, but certainly when you look at his body of work and him being a Villanova guy over the years, they've had the success, but now to win almost back-to-back, that's pretty impressive. And next year they're going to be loaded again. But hats off to this team. to have, I think they said there were like three different players that won some major award during this March Madness. That's very, very impressive. Some people say they're kind of boring, to bring up the Virginia type thing. They're kind of a boring team. But the difference is that they have a very, very strong offense. There are about three or four guys that can get you more than 25 a game. The other thing that's interesting with this Final Four for the men, they say it goes back to Steve Alford with Indiana in 1987, but all the other championship teams for men's basketball has had at least one and done or a first rounder. Mm-hmm. So now they're looking at the Villanova roster to say, okay, we can include that team because there is, Jalen Brunson or Dante DiVincenzo, as to whether or not they're considered first rounders. But it would be interesting if no player from this Villanova team did not go in the first round of the NBA, and that would be really different.
How much did DiVincenzo increase his draft stock with that one game against Michigan?
Wow, like, it's similar to Grayson Allen, right? Maybe he should take the money and run. but there's no doubt he enjoys playing for Villanova, but you can see his talent. At first, I was kind of like, who is this guy? And then play after play, I mean, he could drill it from the outside. He could make layups. He was rebounding. He was blocking shots. Hopefully he stays healthy and his career continues to blossom, but don't be surprised if, you know, next year he's gone.
So speaking of next year and sort of bringing it back to the ACC and to UNC in particular, men's and women's basketball, how are our programs looking?
Well, definitely upside for the men. People will, you know, I saw an article in the Daily Tar Heel about a week or so ago about whether or not Joel Berry was undervalued. He wasn't getting the respect that he deserved for all he did with his great career. Mm-hmm. So the question mark is point guard, bottom line. Now, there are programs out there that can bring in a first-year point guard, and it works out really well. And I'm not saying you have to win the championship, but they continue to move forward. They compete for their conference championship and even the March Madness. But Coach Williams really has to look at whether or not Seventh Woods is the guy, whether or not another first-year player. You know, we lost Felton. So the point guard situation for Coach K, he just retools, reloads, plug and play. So, you know, they're already predicted preseason number one. Mm-hmm. But women's basketball, Carolina, you've got the two players that were out this year, definitely ACC All-Stars. So that's going to help the program. And there's no doubt Coach Hatchell's never had a problem with recruiting. So they'll be loaded again as well.
Yeah. And sort of UNC women's basketball, unlike men's basketball, you've kind of seen that little bit of a dip in the last few years. And it's got to have something to do with the NCAA investigation. And now that that's in the rearview mirror, it, like, the future looks like upside for Carolina women's basketball.
Absolutely. And over the past 2 years, she's been playing people who weren't necessarily targeted to be great starters. Mm-hmm. And so they've got experience now, so they'll be much deeper. And you know, with the ACC, arguably it could have been Louisville versus Notre Dame in that final game. I think Louisville was robbed with the referee didn't blow the whistle at the end there with in the regulation. But the ACC requires at least eight or nine players to go strong. So having this depth and having this experience will only help Coach Hatchell.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Strowman, over from basketball to golf now, because the Masters is coming up starting tomorrow, and a lot of people, and I'm kind of in the same boat, are excited about it again in a way that we weren't before, because Tiger Woods is back and might actually be competitive leaderboard, making a push on Sunday kind of thing this year.
So what can you say, the Tiger effect? There is no doubt, I don't know if there's been an athlete in modern times that has just galvanized non-golfers to pay attention. He's got four green jackets, as in he's won the Masters. The past two tournaments that he participated in, he's had top five finishes. His stroke looks good. He did have four back surgeries over the past 3.5 years. His last surgery was a last resort. He went with the spinal fusion. Just saying that those words, you know, makes you cringe, especially when you think about his torque and bringing that club back. But he feels really good right now. I don't think he's going to win it. I think this is just a part of the hype. But will he compete? Absolutely. And I would love to see him near the top of the leaderboard on Saturday so we can all get excited about Sunday. But we're all excited. I'm looking forward to it. I just like him having him out there just because of the drama that that shows up.
You made a really good point there at the top that there's really no other individual athlete that has made such a huge impact on the popularity of the game as Tiger Woods. Who's number two? Who do you think?
Wow.
I'm just sort of looking and thinking about basketball and baseball, football,
in
hockey.
In the modern game?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to pick Michael Jordan because people love basketball.
They loved it before.
But someone who's really made you pay attention to a sport that isn't watched, I really have to think about that.
Yeah. Like Babe Ruth, you have to go back that far with baseball. Magic Johnson with basketball, Bird Johnson, that rivalry.
Well, I'm steering away from basketball because it's such a popular sport.
Right, right.
But that lesser sport that people would pay attention to because of that athlete.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so soccer maybe then. Who was it in? Who was it that made American soccer popular?
Exactly. I'll throw out the women's soccer team where Brandi Chastain.
Yep, Brandi Chastain, Mia Hamm. That whole
look and say, what's going on there, he's just been an amazing athlete. And then, since then, with his struggles, the injuries, and then the drama around his personal life, which we really don't want to spend time with, but it definitely created a lot of buzz. He's done so much off the field, so to speak, off the golf course, in terms of his investments in education for young people. He's got an amazing technology and STEM school that he supports. He's just done a lot to let young people say that, you know what, you can be an athlete, you can work out, you can lift weights, and you can be a monster out there running. I understand during his training regimen, he would run up to 30 miles a week. He was just a beast of an athlete, as opposed to thinking it's some old guy with a cigar, big belly out there hitting the golf ball. You can be an athlete and choose golf.
Absolutely. Dr. Debbie Strowman, thank you so much, as always.
Thank you.